Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Coming your way this hour, Tasty Top 5 college football games of the weekend. Also, your best audio of the day, including Urban Meyer ahead of the Big Ten title game. As well as Hugh Jackson on the return of Josh Gordon. Next hour, 1 hour from now, Roddy Jones, ESPN college football analyst. Oh, Tennessee. Athletic director John Curry, as you just heard Andrew Bogish mention in the update just minutes ago, the reports have come down that UT has fired their athletic director. Think about how dysfunctional this is. The athletic director was in charge of hiring the new football coach. This went back during the regular season. What's most amazing about the Tennessee situation is this. We've known for 4 months Butch Jones was going to get fired. Butch Jones, this season, basically was asked to do the impossible. Fans didn't like him. Boosters didn't like him. People felt the program had stagnated and Jones had become a very unlikable head coach, saying weird things like champions of life. And so people didn't trust Butch Jones. People didn't want Butch Jones. And so going into the season, we kind of knew Butch was going to be fired. By the time we got to Georgia, shutting out the Vols in October, that might have been late September. When it's 45-0 Georgia in Tennessee, it's over. I remember having Adam Zucker, host of the SEC on CBS, on this show the week after, and he said, Tennessee's likely keeping around Butch Jones just to make him have to wear the scarlet letter of losing to Alabama by 50 points. But it's a stay of execution. We all know this. So think about this, guys. We've known Butch Jones was going to be fired since late September, early October. It's now December 1st. So they wait. Florida fires Jim McElwain, gets the jump on the coaching search at Florida within the SEC East. They wait. They finally axe Butch Jones. Okay, now they're looking for a coach. We figured it would be this way. Is it going to be Chip Kelly? No, UCLA swoops in, steals Chip Kelly. John Gruden was never realistic. Okay, it's not John Gruden. Well, that's okay. The athletic director feels like he's got his guy, hires Greg Schiano. Outcry, protests, outrage, forced to fire Greg Schiano upon hiring him. Has to pull it back. National scandal. And now John Curry has gone to every door in his neighborhood shaking a UNICEF box. Please, anybody help me. And has kept getting the door slammed in his face. Yeah, there's been a couple of people that have talked to him been real friendly and real nice. Oh, that's a very nice cause. Oh, yeah, I'm sure those kids could really use my help. Yeah, that sounds really good. I'm really glad you're doing this. Ah, but I just got no money around the holidays. Sorry. Door shuts. And so now they're on the precipice of hiring somebody. Maybe it's Mike Leach, maybe it's not. It's got to be somebody soon. Early signing period now for college football, recruiting-wise, is coming up in a couple of weeks, not February. And they fire the athletic director because it's such a debacle. And so now whoever gets hired is going to be hired by... That's how bad this is. That's how bad this is. Just minutes ago, it comes down. Tennessee has fired its athletic director. And now they'll try to find somebody else to hire the next head coach. And has anybody flamed out as quickly as John Curry? The guy got the job 8 months ago. This goes back to the age-old joke. You had one job. John Curry could have messed up everything else, but just get the football hire right. You had one job, John. And it's been foobarred so bad. 8 months later, in the middle of the coaching search, which seems to change upon the hour, Tennessee is now going to have somebody else lead trying to find this head coach. I mean, yikes. Not how you draw it up. Now, speaking of the college football coaching carousel, Jimbo Fisher has been rumored to be leaving Florida State to go to Texas A&M. A&M's got big money. A lot of money.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
And this week during his coach's show, an upset and agitated Florida State fan shows up at the coach's show. It's a live studio audience. A lot of fans are there, hosted by Gene Deckerhoff, voice of the Seminoles. And the fans are allowed to ask questions. Open forum. Fan comes up to the microphone, starts lecturing Jimbo Fisher about loyalty, understandably so, and is quickly ushered out of the building.
Very excited when you came on board with the program. Very excited to have you as the offensive coordinator. Very excited when you became the head coach.
Yes, sir.
It's been kind of a tough season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching a lot of your press conferences and how you would talk about how we need to be committed to the program and keep cheering for the team. And we need to be talking about that, about loyalty to the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, where's the loyalty to the program, Jimbo?
It's here tonight on Wednesday, Michael.
Seminole IMG Sports Network. And so that fan is quickly ushered out of the building. And in fact, whoever is in charge of that microphone is like pushing this fan in the back. Like, get out of here, man. How dare you, dude? You know you're out of line, man. And that fan doesn't snap back. He's just kind of like smirking and walking out. Now, I love the chorus of, oh, from all of those fans. But that guy had a couple of onions. That guy had a couple of onions stored below the equator. And I give him major credit because it's not calling up some sports talk show and griping to some sports talk host. It's not writing something nasty on Twitter. It's not posting something volatile on a message board. It's going up to the guy and telling him how you feel. Hey, that is way more respectable, in my estimation, than all the other nonsense we have going on in social media, which is so passive-aggressive, where people know they can be real tough guys because they never actually have to face the person. And let's talk about this with Jimbo Fisher. Because while this might be a faux pas in a coach's show with a bunch of super fans sitting around, you're not going to call out the coach's loyalty. Well, this might feel like a faux pas, maybe wrong place, wrong time, what have you. Jimbo Fisher is the active head coach, paid millions of dollars at Florida State. The Seminoles have no interest in firing him, and he is flirting with Texas A&M. This is a man that is in a marriage flirting with the chick behind the counter. That's what all of this coaching stuff is. Yeah, I've got a job, but let me see what's better out there. Which is not that big a deal because it happens all of the time in every walk of life when it comes to professional upward mobility. Except it is so hypocritical and so stupid in college athletics. Because in college athletics, and athletics in general, but specifically in college, you are continually banging the same drum. Loyalty to the program. Do what's best for the program. You've got to think about the program. Think about the program. Think about your teammates. Think about your coaches. Think about the school. Think about the words on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. So all these coaches espouse. Let me take you back to October when another fan had the audacity to be in the stands in Tallahassee and yell at Jimbo Fisher that he should make changes on his coaching staff. Jimbo turned around and started bickering and fighting with the fan of the stands verbally and said, why don't you come down here and say that?
Are you going to be a loyal fan or not? Just keep fighting with us. We ain't quitting on you. Please don't quit on us. We're going to keep fighting, scratching, coaching, playing. And you see the heart and desire of those kids. And understand something. What if that's your kid? If that was one of your kids or your nephew or your cousin or your friend, keep supporting them.
Therein lies the rub. Sorry, Jimbo, but when you tell fans, how about being loyal or we're not quitting on you, doesn't pass the smell test when you are in active negotiations with Texas A&M. Is that not exactly what Jimbo Fisher is doing right now? Staying loyal? He's not quitting on Florida State? Feels like that's exactly what he's doing. Oh, yeah, he can dress this up as it's a promotion. It's upward mobility. Maybe he'll say it's a better fit. Whatever he wants to say. What it is a better paycheck. It's not a better job necessarily. It's a better paycheck. And so for a couple of more zeros, Jimbo Fisher isn't loyal and is quitting on that program. Which, again, I don't really care about because if somebody made me a better offer tomorrow, I should be allowed to go listen to that offer and leave CBS if I feel like that's what's better for me. But I can't sit here every day and say, be loyal. I'm not quitting on you. I'm not going anywhere. Got to be loyal. Got to be loyal. It's all about loyalty. Don't question. Got to be loyal. I'm not quitting. And that's what all these coaches do. Jimbo sitting there fighting with fans. Support us. We're not quitting on you. Be loyal. Be loyal. Be loyal. Man, that is such brain control. It is such manipulation. Be loyal. Be loyal. Be loyal. We're not quitting on you. Yeah, you are. Going to take another job. Going to take another job. Which will likely be a harder job. Because when you go to Texas A&M, now you got to play Alabama every year. And now you got to get out of the same division with Alabama, Auburn, and LSU. Instead of a one-game season, which is beat Clemson or not. Sorry, Jimbo, caught in your own lie. When we come back, Tasty Top 5, Conference College Football Championships this weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Get the empanada shells at your local grocer. You usually find them over there, you know, in the freezer section with some of the, ethnic, I think they call it foods.
I think that's right.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA with you. Watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Also, stream us using one of the apps, the CBS Sports app. the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. If your weekends are reserved for football, then you should be watching the game at B-Dubs, where all the fans are there for the same reason, to watch sports. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. All those things sound really good. Vikings and Falcons Sunday, 1 Eastern, two red-hot NFC playoff potential teams square off in the ATL. Vikings are 9-2, healthy lead in the NFC North. Case Keenum's been playing very well recently. Julio Jones for the Falcons coming off his third game in his career of more than 250 receiving yards, which is just stupid because that is twice, that's double what a normal good game, a great game is for most wide receivers. If you get a $125 as a receiver in the NFL, that's a great day. He has doubled that output three times in his NFL career. Vikings, Falcons should be a dandy. And boy, the NFC just dwarfs the AFC in terms of great games and great matchups and interest. You've got Vikings, Falcons this weekend, Sunday at 1 Eastern, Sunday night, Eagles at Seahawks. Both should be great. Dale is in East Tennessee, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 640. What's up, Dale?
Hey, DA, how are you this morning?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to offer a little bit more insight to the Tennessee coaching search fiasco that's been going on. I'll try to be as brief as possible.
Okay.
At first, when Curry was hired, the fans didn't want the hire. Most of the boosters didn't want the hire. Our problem is, as a program, is we're blessed and cursed at the same time. And the main factor in all that is Jimmy Haslam. He is one of our biggest boosters and has a lot of influence and control in the program, which necessarily doesn't jive with what the fan base wants. So the main problem is him. If you look at how the Cleveland Browns are organized and ran,
disaster.
You've got the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted somebody in AD that had orange blood, either Phil Fulmer, and that's who I'm hearing is going to take over as interim AD, or a David Blackman, both of which has ties to Tennessee.
And I was surprised Blackman didn't get the job originally.
Well, and the reason, in my opinion, the reason he didn't get it was Jimmy Haslam. Then we get to the Greg Schiano hire, or near hire. That was all set up from the beginning. It was done on a Sunday. Our AD is vacationing in the Bahamas at a basketball tournament. And quite honestly, the biggest coaching hire in Tennessee's history. Anybody in their 30s all the way up to death basically remembers the time that Tennessee was a national powerhouse. So the fans are tired of the mediocrity, and we've been left with that for years and years, going on 12 years now, with pitiful hire after pitiful hire, besides the Lane Kiffin fiasco where he left in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but, you know, Butch Jones is not a pathetic hire. I mean, Butch Jones did bring the program back from the dead from the Derek Dooley disaster, the Lane Kiffin disaster. So Butch Jones should be given, I think history will actually shine fairly well on Butch Jones. In the moment, fans have become frustrated with what they felt was stagnation, but he really did leave it much better than he found it and was recruiting very well. I think you bring a couple of very good points there. Number one, the Jimmy Haslam influence. It's one thing to lend big money. It's another thing to, when you lend big money, have the assumption, and now I control everything. And you have a couple of these situations around college football and college athletics. Phil Knight with Oregon, T. Boone Pickens when it comes to Oklahoma State. In some ways, the Walmart fortune at Arkansas. These monster donors, the Koch brothers at Wichita State, they run everything. That's a problem. Number two of the problem, which is also a blessing and a curse, is a fan base that is highly emotional and highly connected and highly engaged. It's what brings 95,000 people inside Neyland Stadium. But it's also going to rip you to shreds if they don't like what you're doing. It's louder there. literally and figuratively. And a blessing and a curse is expectations because of history. There was a time where Johnny Majors would leave a very good situation at Pitt to go to Tennessee because Tennessee was a jewel program. People remember championships and SEC titles and Peyton Manning and Team Martin winning a title in 1998, the Philip Fulmer years, and so much more. So that now, 7-5, 8-4, ain't getting it done anymore. Let's get to your tasty top five.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
All right, you come to this radio show because you know to expect the unexpected. I'm not going to give you some vanilla cookie cutter segment here. Here's my top five most interesting matchups of the college football weekend. Tonight's Pac-12 title game doesn't make my top five. Tomorrow's Big 12 title game doesn't make my top five. I'm not interested in Stanford and USC because I'm disappointed in the Pac-12 this year. I wanted excitement. I wanted great quarterback play. I wanted a team in the college football playoff. I didn't get any of that this year. In the Big 12, I don't think TCU is going to put up much of a fight. To me, Oklahoma wins this game by double digits. So my fifth most interesting game of the college football week is actually tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2, as Lane Kiffin's FAU Owls take on North Texas in Boca in the Conference USA championship game. This is interesting because Lane Kiffin's trying to go undefeated in Conference USA in year one as the head coach. He was 8-0 in the regular season. They've got a home game here. With a win there and a win for the conference championship, they're going to be able to pick a pretty good bowl tie-in to where Lane Kiffin's going to want FAU to play a Power 5 program. He's going to want that matchup against a Power 5 program, but he's got to win this to get that. So this sets up a very juicy bowl game of who Lane Kiffin's going to want to coach against, because you can tell he's got a burr in his saddle to shove it up everybody's you-know-what about him taking the FAU job and making it a legitimate job. The number four most interesting matchup of the weekend is the American Conference Championship game. That's also tomorrow. It's also 12 Eastern. This is going to be on ABC as two ranked foes, number 20 Memphis, travels to Orlando in the home of the Golden Knights, number 14 of the country. They are 11-0. Can the Golden Knights remain undefeated? This is interesting because UCF plays a really fun style of offense. UCF under Scott Frost has let it rip, and this could be Scott Frost's final coaching gig or final day at UCF as the head coach there. The guy might end up taking the Nebraska job. So I'm looking forward to this. Let's see what the Golden Knights and Scott Frost have up their sleeves for this championship game. And Memphis is no joke either. Two very good programs. Number three most interesting matchup of the weekend. Now we get to the big boys, the Big Ten championship game. Big Ten title game tomorrow. This is a late kick, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Fox. Number 4, Wisconsin. Number 8, Ohio State. The JT Barrett situation is questionable. Let's say that. I mean, I find it interesting that Ohio State's a heavy favorite, favored by 6 points of this game, when JT Barrett's coming off knee surgery and apparently hit his knee pretty badly on that camera before the game against Michigan. Call me crazy. I like Bucky Badger. Give me Wisconsin to the upset. I think they win and go into the college football playoff. But both teams, obviously, a lot to play for. Ohio State with a win keeps their hopes alive of getting into the playoff. Number two is going to be the ACC title game. Also, 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow on ABC. Clemson, the number one team of the country, taking on Miami from Charlotte. Winner gets in. Miami's had magic all season long, but Clemson's the better football team. I think the Tigers will show it tomorrow night and get into the playoffs. And the number one game of the weekend is Auburn, Georgia. How about this? The game on the Plains 3 weeks ago, a game that I was at, Auburn annihilated Georgia. And yet, in the rematch, neutral site, plenty of Georgia fans, obviously. This place is going to be rocking as Georgia and Auburn, both an easy drive for Georgia and Athens, just down the street from Atlanta. It's Auburn by only a point and a half. Vegas knows this one's going to be close. The Kerryon Johnson injury is significant, but I think Auburn does it to Georgia again. This is also a playing game, and I think it's going to be an awesome game. That's your number one tastiest matchup of the college football weekend.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
When we come back, a little sound check. How about Urban Meyer ahead of that Big Ten title game? And Hugh Jackson getting Josh Gordon back. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Friend of the Da Show, NFL Network. Our good friend, Steve White. Steve, good morning.
D to the A. Thanks for having me back in your dojo, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Check out the newest Permission Granted podcast. It's available on iTunes. As we go back over Mraz's debut as a host here on CBS Sports Radio and continue the debate, sweatpants and work, appropriate or not. That's this week's PGP, the Permission Granted podcast. My God. Watching this Tennessee thing is remarkable. This is like how I felt when I watched that footage from the Iraqi war back in 1990 with all of those lights in the sky. And you're just caught like, wow, I've never seen this. Look at all these missiles and scuds and things doing all this stuff. This is cool. Wow. And then you realize how much destruction is going on, that this is actually remarkably ugly. It looked like a cool laser light show until you realize entire things and cities and places were being bombed. Brett McMurphy tweets that his sources say John Curry, the AD for Tennessee, which today has been fired, was prepared to hire Mike Leach, but university officials wouldn't allow him to do so. And that Philip Fulmer, the last great Tennessee head coach, has been, quote, in Brett McMurphy's words, sabotaging the search process in hopes to become Tennessee's AD. McMurphy goes on, Tennessee's own people have been ambushing John Curry's coaching search. They're shooting themselves in the foot, cock the gun, shoot themselves in the other foot. It's been going on for a week. Hummina, 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 hummina.
You are a machine of death.
Now you tell me, if you are a self-respecting head coach like David Cutcliffe, like Mike Gundy, would you walk into a situation where you have got internal strife, fighting, and ambushing within the athletic department? Of course not. Wow. And Philip Fulmer. This is like an episode of The Young and the Restless or Dynasty or Dallas. This is a 1980s primetime soap opera that Philip Fulmer, who's the last great coach within the program, could be actively sabotaging the coaching search so that he could become athletic director? So that he doesn't want the program to be straight and narrow and successful. He wants the power. Whoa. Whoa. Look, like I said, I thought Mike Leach would be a great hire. I thought it'd be a great hire. But why would Mike Leach want to walk into a situation where the athletic director has the old coach trying to sabotage all the efforts? If this stuff is true, oh, that is diabolical. Oh, by the way, that rock on campus has been painted over after the Greg Schiano nightmare, and it now says, welcome to the Tennessee Browns. Dilly, Dilly.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed. He's a bum.
Time for your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Jimbo Fisher and the Florida State Seminoles need to actually get a win tomorrow to become bowl eligible. Oh, they're not playing in a conference championship game. No, they're playing against Louisiana Monroe, looking to get their sixth win of the season.
Jimbo, how was the last practice of the season for you guys?
That was good. Good. Hopefully it won't be. We win a game, they'll have a bowl game. You know what I mean? We'll have a bowl game. But it was good. The execution was good. The tempo was good. Mindset was good. Doing caught the ball. Did a good job. And defense, I like the energy.
So this quote actually picked up some traction because in referring to getting a win and going to a bowl game, Jimbo kept saying, they'll have a bowl game. They'll have a bowl game. Not we'll have a bowl game. Like I said about Jimbo Fisher. All these coaches end up going out and shopping their wares and getting a better job and getting more money. But it's so hypocritical and so ridiculous when they keep pounding the loyalty thing on us. Stop it with that. Don't make us feel bad for criticizing you because then we're being disloyal when you'll leave at the drop of a hat for a better job or more money. Because I didn't even think that A&M's a better job. It's just more money. Maybe. Urban Meyer ahead of the Big Ten championship game.
Honored to represent arguably the best conference in America and arguably the toughest division in America in the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. And we're going to do all the best we can to represent Ohio State and go play our best.
Well, look, because the SEC has not been the power conference it once was 5, 8, 10 years ago, everybody else is now trying to stake claim to the best conference in America. Last year was the ACC. The Big Ten feels as though it is this year. That's fine. I don't know if I would agree, but I don't know if there's a great football conference this year anyway, but if somebody has to be the best. Now, Urban Meyer can say we're in the toughest division in college football, and you can make that argument with Michigan and Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, but I don't know if this is the right year to make that claim when you could have two teams out of the same division be two of the final four in the college football playoff in the SEC West. If Auburn wins tomorrow, they're in. And if Alabama catches a break, they might be in. So until I see the Big Ten, that side, the legend or the leader, the East, get in two teams in the college football playoff, I don't know if you want to make that claim this year. And then Hugh Jackson on getting Josh Gordon back.
Am I comfortable saying that? Heck yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he's going to start right away.
Now, that's a man that actually feels pretty dilly-dilly going into an 0-11, are they 0-11, 0-10?
0-1 forever at this point.
0-1 a long time. So on this point, that's your sound check. On this point, do you believe the Josh Gordon stories that he was making $10,000 a month selling drugs at Baylor?
I do, only because he couldn't stop with whatever he was doing with the weed, which tells me maybe the power of money, the power of addiction, all of it, I think, all plays into it.
Browns are 0-11. So if you're making 10 grand a month selling drugs, it's 120 grand a year, and then you play football.
And then people wonder, well, why would he keep smoking weed if he's making all that money playing football? Well, if he was making over 100 grand a year selling weed and his body's not getting beat up, then, hey, that, I guess that was his dream.
I remember going to, we had something called Flip Night at Syracuse where at Fagan's, the bartender flips a quarter. And if they flip the quarter and you call it, I think you get the beer for like a dollar or maybe you get the beer for the quarter or something like that. I mean, basically, you are gambling for that beer because you have no money. I mean, nothing left to your name. And we had, I think it was $2 pitchers on Friday at 2 p.m. at Darwin's. And these are the things that I had to schedule my life around because I could not afford a full-priced beer. I used to drink Utica Club Light or Genesee Cream or develop a taste for Natty Light.
Oh.
You know, these are the things that I had to schedule my life around. Oh my gosh, how much more money do I have on my supercard? Do I have $3 left that mom and dad still have had on there so that I can get a chicken sandwich? Could you imagine making 10 grand a month over 100 grand a year? I mean, look, selling drugs isn't the best way to do it, but that would change your college experience, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you were a 20-year-old kid, didn't know any better, no repercussions, you got that much money rolling around?
I wouldn't be worried about a $3 chicken sandwich.
No!
I wouldn't be... That sounds pretty good.
A lot of money at Baylor, huh?
I mean, then again, you have to sell drugs to do it. Yeah, how about Baylor's situation? I mean, sexual assault, star players selling weed, making 100 grand, basically being Pablo Escobar on campus.
Art Briles writing a book about loving God.
Yeah, Art Briles, biggest phony going. It's been a good couple of years of Baylor football. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. This is a good time to bring up that we are now knocking on the door. You hear that? That's the door of the 12 DAs of Christmas. And yesterday we went over the top 12 and then the first four out. And then maybe some that didn't quite make the first four out. And we found out that we have a lot of stuff from 2017, a very deep class this year. We have not done the official voting yet. Next week will be, starting on Monday, first four out, just like the NCAA tournament, like bracketology.
We have our top 12. We just don't have the order of the top 12.
That's right. We have the top 12. They've been whittled down. Difficult selection process. But next week, we'll debut Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the first four out. And then Friday, a week from today, we begin with number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Going back over, I always love going back over the 12 DAs because what we do, the process is, over the course of the year, if something really funny happens or really wild happens, we end up marking it and you put it in a folder for the end of the year.
Right. It's like a storage closet.
Yes, and then we go back into the storage closet at the end of the year and we start dusting off these pictures, these boxes, and we start looking in them and we re-listen to a bunch of them. And some of them are way funnier than we remember and we forget how good they were. Others are way worse than we remember. And you go, exactly. How did that make what we thought might be the top 12? So yesterday going over all of these things was tremendous. And the Body Bilotti, we were listening to a bunch of these after the show yesterday. And I got to say, I think once we get to the top 12, we're going to have 12 incredibly funny, incredibly fun, awesome candidates.
Oh, this is a superior class of candidates. I couldn't stop laughing listening back to a lot of these.
We were cackling so loud yesterday that people from other production departments were walking by saying, "You guys, I need to know what's going on here. What's so funny here?"
They had no idea.
No idea. So I think we got good ones. And what's cool is that the Body Bilotti is actually going to dig up some ones that didn't make the top 16, if you will, top 12 and then the first four out, and use those little snippets, little rejoins next week, just kind of sprinkle them in. So they won't be officially the top four out, but they'll be sprinkled in. And Bilotti, we were going over some of those. We've got good candidates there as well.
Those could have made the four out, and they all could have made the top 12. So there's all those ones that aren't in the list could also be included as well.
We got action.
It's like the quarterback draft this year. There's a lot of names. A
lot of juice.
A lot of juice. There's a lot of juice. We got juice.
Oh, okay.
It should also be noted as we get into this festive December time of year that Wednesday of next week we will have Katie Lindendahl back with her Christmas gadgets, and away we go.
Very good. Okay, so she'll have shopping ideas coming up on Wednesday. And again, the 12 DAs of Christmas, for those that are new to this time slot this year, since we moved into this time slot in April, is that we count down the 12 best moments of the year on this show up until New Year's. So that'll be the 12 shows leading up until New Year's. And then we start next week. That's how close we are with the first four out. So make sure you keep it locked. We'll always put those in video form as well now that we have the simulcast, so you can watch those on YouTube, and that should be a lot of fun. So check them out, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, to see the best of this show each and every day. We put the best clips up there, and every day we will make sure that we put up what the 12 DA of Christmas is from that day. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. It is a Target Demo Friday, so I want to hear what you guys are up to as you listen to the show. Okay, so hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Leave your comments. Let me know what you're up to as you listen, what you got going on, what you got cooking this weekend. I'll read them coming up next hour. Again, it's a Target Demo Friday. I need to know what you guys are up to, and I will read them off next hour, how you're listening, what you're up to, and what you're doing. When we come back, college football analyst Roddy Jones is going to join us. Talk about the conference championship games. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.